So APMIFA also talks about the authority of an institution to delegate investment activities to external parties. And this is also subject to the terms of a particular gift instrument. So if an organization holds an endowment fund that's somehow precluded using external advisors, you wouldn't be able to use them. But otherwise, an organization can delegate investment authority to an external agent. It has to be prudent under the circumstances, and to determine if that's the case, it's important that the organization conduct due diligence, determine whether the person they're determining is an expert who will do a good job, so make a reasonable decision in selecting the agent. The terms of the engagement must also be reasonable. So reports that you're going to ask back from them, the authority you grant them, those terms have to be reasonable. And then there's also a duty to review the agent's actions, make sure the agent complies with the terms of the engagement. So if you've set up certain parameters for investing and you've got an external investment advisor making the decisions and coming back and providing reports, and they're not complying with those parameters you've set up, you've got a duty to address that with them. So in the event that that an organization does comply with these requirements, the result is that the institution can rely on the agent's actions and would have no liability for the actions or decisions that are made by the agent. And the agent also owes a duty to the institution to exercise reasonable care, as well as the law makes them subject. So if they're not in the, and this is the Texas statute I'm dealing with primarily, if they're not in Texas, the law says they're subject to Texas jurisdiction when they agree to manage these funds. So briefly, I mentioned this at the beginning, the Uniform Prudent Investor Act is also in the Texas Property Code, and it contains many of these same rules. It applies to trustees, not just of charitable trusts, but of other trusts. But I guess the importance here dealing with charitable trusts is that most of the rule, or really all of the rules we just discussed, apply also to a charitable trust that has individuals or banks or trust departments as a trustee. And so, for example, with respect to delegation to an external advisor, the Prudent Investor Act will allow the trustee to delegate investment actions to an external advisor as long as they act prudently in selecting that advisor, in setting up the terms of the engagement, and monitoring them and making sure they comply. And when that happens, the trustee then is allowed to rely on the external advisor and cannot be held liable for the actions or decisions of the external advisor. So I'll talk briefly about a few other statutory provisions that are relevant specifically to nonprofit directors. So the Texas Business Organization Code, the chapter on nonprofit corporations, chapter 22, section 22.224 provides that a nonprofit corporation's board may contract with external investment advisors and grant them authority to make investment decisions and take actions. It says the board is not liable as long as the board acted in good faith and with ordinary care in selecting the advisor. So to some extent, one could argue that you don't even have to monitor them going forward. Under the Business Organizations Code, it says you won't be liable as a board if you were prudent, acting in good faith and ordinary care, and selecting the advisor. I don't think that it works that way. I think that you just still have to set up the terms of the engagement that are reasonable and continue to monitor them. Another provision of the Business Organizations Code, which applies to all organizations subject to the Business Organizations Code, including nonprofit corporations, is that a board or a committee member may rely in good faith on certain information that are presented by others. So you can rely on information presented by officers, employees, or a committee that this person is not a member of. You can rely on information presented by attorneys, CPAs, and investment bankers. And we can rely on any person that the board member or committee member reasonably believes has professional expertise in the matter that's at issue. So as long as the board member or the committee member is acting in good faith and with ordinary care when they decide to rely, they can rely on most expert opinions that are presented by these advisors. And finally, one other provision that can reduce the liability of directors of a nonprofit corporation is that each nonprofit corporation can have in its certificate of formation a provision that will prevent the director from being liable to the organization or its members for monetary damages for a breach or for the person's acts and omissions. And there are certain exceptions that you cannot exclude, which are breach of the duty of loyalty. So if there's a self-dealing transaction, a conflict of interest in that way, there's not going to be this protection. Intentional misconduct or a knowing violation of the law or a transaction in which the board member or committee member, the board member improperly benefits. Those actions cannot be protected in this way, but other types of basic negligence that a board member may be guilty of can be protected so that the board member is not liable to the organization for monetary damages in the event that a negligent act like that occurs.